He loves our personalities. He loves your personality. He created it. Every time you try to make it different. Now, there are parts of you, you know, the anger part or the, you know, I just say, you know, I'm not a cusser, but, you know, people do. So I always say cuss the, you know, kick the cat and cuss out the dog, so to speak. Nobody got that right. It's from prison ministry, I'm sure. In there, they get it, right? But I've never been a cusser, so that's just what I think about, though. I think about you just, your old habits creep in, but you repent for those and you just keep going. And you were created, and he created all the things around you. Everything that is created was created for you. Just every bit of it. The technology that we live into the day, this day and time, he knew exactly when he wanted to put you on the earth. He thought about it. He's planned it out. He knew that you, he put in you the desire to develop technology, to open up the minds of people that couldn't see so that they can see. He has, you were purposed for this time. Woo! When he was thinking about you. Amen? He was thinking about this seasons and this time. And when we get ourselves wrapped up in our failures, we're missing the point. Amen? Don't get all caught up in your failures. You know, if you mess up, repent and keep going. That's what I say. Just keep going. Dust your knees off. Some of the most times in my life when I was on my face and just crying out to God that I had sinned so greatly, how could he ever use me? I saw him in the spirit. He leaned over in my ear. Jesus did. And he said, do you not think that I knew that you would be here? But I still called you. Now get up. Get up and let's go. Let's keep going. Don't get focused on the mess ups. Get focused on where you're going. The plan that he has for you. Because it's so great of a plan. It's greater than you have even thought of yet. That's what he says in his word. He wants to bless you greater than you can think. Oh, so how do we get to that place? We just, every day, we make sure that we are people that are created to love him, created to serve him. So we get up and I tell people all the time, find out when your prayer time is. When is your prayer time? When is it that you're supposed to be in the presence of the Lord so he can infuse you with his desires for your life? You know, so when I first started my prayer life, I literally prayed a minute. That's how long I could stand it. I'm being honest. I thought it was 5 hours, but it was a minute. And I would be so discouraged because I heard so many people praying so much longer than me. And the Lord would be like, don't get discouraged. You're not always going to stay right here. Let's go. I mean, think about it. Think if the person who created, the lights. What if they got discouraged after the first 500 times it didn't work? Come on. Come on. You ever heard that story? You ever studied? Wow, what a phenomenal testimony. The reporter said, why did you try it 999 times or 1,000 times? Why did you keep going? He said, because I knew at some point it was going to work. So every single time, instead of seeing yourself as a disappointment, see yourself as a success for today. Today you were created. Today you're here. Today you made it. Hallelujah. Today I had my prayer time. Hallelujah. So that person who started out at 1 minute when I was 33 years old, hallelujah. And now I could pray, really I can pray hours. But I do my time that he's requested of me. And because sometimes I can get really spiritual and you're no earthly good, so to speak. Because I'm like, I could stay here in Jesus' presence forever because it's so good. But he's like, I got things for you to do. Let's go. Come on. Now he's not just telling me to get up off the floor. He's called me. But now he's like, I got things for you to do. Come on, let's go. I'm like, okay, you go with me. I'm going to go. Because he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And there's this fellowship he's looking for. You know, for years I was looking for a relationship with him. But then he moved me into fellowship. Fellowship with him. You know, think about it. I've told Apostle Kelly, and when he named the ministry Grace Fellowship, I don't know if he even knew. Because I'm sending him all these things that the Lord was giving me. This was probably a year ago, just on fellowship and what fellowship meant and the deepness of it, and how when you go out to dinner, what do? You fellowship, right? You enjoy the time that you're there. You're not rushing to go do something else. You're enjoying the meal. You're enjoying the time with the company. And time can get away from you when you fellowship, right? So when we're fellowshipping with the Father, it's not just a moment in time. It's all day long. It's all day long going and doing whatever he desires for you to do. Because he's got this all planned out. And I used to be a person who wanted to do the plan of God, but in my own way. Hallelujah. Nobody's ever done that before. Do the plan of God. Okay, Lord, tell me the plan, and then I'm going to do it my way. Well, I tried that. That was that yielded a little bit of success, but then not really. But then I grew more in him, hallelujah, because that's what we're supposed to do, right? Grow more in him. Every day we're going to grow more, right? Every day we're going to understand things more from his perspective than from our own. So as I began to do that, he began to speak to me more about where we're going tonight, what he has laid on my heart to speak to you about. And the title of it, I put, Can God Send You? I love the testimony that you gave. Can God send you? Everybody says, yes, send me. And then we always think about the fun places, Hawaii, warmth, if it's cold. If we live in the warmth, we want to go to the cold. My kids all live in Texas. They want to come home. I'm like, okay. When they were here, they wanted to go. Now they're there, they want to come here. Hallelujah. There'll always be something where we want to be, but where is it that God wants us to be? And you get that in your prayer time. So back to my prayer time, I would set the stove clock when I remember moving to 5 minutes. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak in my heavenly language for 5 minutes. And making myself stick to that time on purpose, stretching. Come on, we didn't always start this way, right? We're going to grow to it. So growing our times. So, you know, the people in my ministry, I mean, it's not odd for me to say, grow your prayer time. And they're like, okay, it's time to grow. It's time to get more expanding, because the longer that you're praying in your unknown tongue, the more of the things that you're praying out that God has planned for you. And you're also changing circumstances that you don't even know you need to change. So you grow. And if you miss your prayer time, forgive yourself. Repent and get on it. Right? Either do it that night, do it in the morning, whenever your time is. So can God send you to where he wants you to go? Hallelujah. I think that that you're called here to this ministry. I think that when you come in the door and you decide this is the place God has called me to be, that we get some, you know, sticking power. That even though we might go through times when we don't feel feelings that we're loved or feelings that we belong, that we move past our feelings and that we stick where God placed us, because there's value in faithfulness. Because we see church attendance is important, but what's really important is your faithfulness to it. That's what the Lord is looking for, because he's got great things for you to do and ideas he wants to give you and places he wants to take you and great men he's going to bring you before. But he first has to develop in you faithfulness. Just faithfulness. Faithfulness to your prayer time. Faithfulness to your word time. Faithfulness to church time. Faithfulness to be committed. Come on, we all know what that means. We can go someplace and never, ever invest. Right? So faithfulness to be invested. Amen? Why am I saying all this? Because the church is walking into a place that we've never been before. A place where we know things that the world has no idea what's going on. But we do, because we were in our prayer time and the Lord said, this is what's going to take place. This is what I want you to do. On Friday of this last week, in my prayer time, the Lord is like, I'm sending you someplace today. I was like, okay, fine. Sometimes I can be, Friday was my day off, and I do have a secular job. I do have that secular job because the Lord said he would like me to show the body of Christ that you can multitask. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we get in our minds that we're just stationed in one spot and they're going to max that out. Well, the Lord is a multitasker. And so I am to be an example to the body of Christ of multitasking. And I multitask like times 10, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. You know, one time the Lord showed me a plate of food, and I had the chicken, and I had mashed potatoes and carrots, and the plate was so overfull. It was just flowing. I mean, food was dropping. It was like Thanksgiving. Food was dropping off the plate. And I was like, Lord, you cannot give me another thing to do because I don't have room on my plate. Instantly, I went up another level and I looked down and the plate grew. And all the food that was falling off the plate was now in the middle. And I had all this room on the outside. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There's more? Yes, there's more. Because you are so full of the Spirit of God. And you cannot ever say that the Holy Spirit doesn't know how to multitask. And he's in you. So it's okay to be in different areas doing different things, but you're still one person and you have a common goal, and that is to fulfill the plan of God for your life in any way, shape, or form that he wants to do it. Hallelujah. And how many of you know, until you exercise your mind greater than the 9% that you do right now, or the 7%? You know, Einstein, they say it only used 10%. So here we are exercising our mind to even go more into other levels that we didn't even know that we could do. And then I find that working also in gifts and callings. When he expands me in the natural, he expands me in the spiritual. And so the gifts and callings become more important. In my secular job, I work in a very high intense level 1 trauma center. And so I always want to be able to know what to do when a physical body comes in and it's life or death. It's important to know what to do at the moment. And so I've always felt this way for many years, not just anything recent. For many years, it was important to be skilled in whatever needed to be done for the patient at that time. Well, the Lord maxed me in those areas all the time. And then when it came to the gifts, I really know that the gifts are for whatever is needed for that person you're ministering to at the time. So the Lord needs to be able to operate in us and through us in whatever is needed at the time. Yes, we may walk really well in him being able to use us to pray for people, but what if that person isn't, it's not a healing they need? It's a word in due season to encourage them to continue further in what God's got them to do, or to change a path, or to expand their love walk. Whatever it is that he needs that's important at the time, we need to be able to multitask in those areas. Amen? So I like to call it 8 lanes. That's what the Lord has told me. I run in 8 separate lanes all at the same time. And I have things going on all the time. And I'm never tired because there's an anointing for that. Hallelujah. To not be tired. And also to not be overcome. Come on. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So that constant knowledge. So when he sent me here tonight, he was like, I want you to talk to them about, can I send them? Doesn't mean you're going to leave your church. Doesn't mean you're going to transcend to another place and, woo, you're happy to go there. No, it's can he send you past your mailbox to wherever he wants you to go in any situation and have you, it's not just an evangelistic call to be able to talk to people about Jesus. That's not just for evangelists. That's for Christ. That's called a Christian. That's a Christian. You know? That's just a Christian. Can he advance us past our mailbox to be able to say, well, Lord, I always go to Walmart to shop for groceries. Well, I'd like you to go to Kroger's today or whatever you have in your area. I'd like you to go there today. Well, I don't understand why I have to go there today. The prices are more expensive. And you start giving him a list. If you'll notice, he stops talking. Because if you're going to have your own plan, then you apparently don't want his plan. So he just shuts up until you're ready to do it his way. So I always say he doesn't answer stupid. So because I can be stupid in my questions that I ask. And sometimes he just really doesn't answer because it's stupid. I'm asking stupid stuff. Because either I want to do it his way or I don't. And there is a choice. Everybody gets a choice. So I say, okay, Lord, I mean, but at first it seemed odd, but now it doesn't seem odd at all. Wherever he decides to go, that's where we're going. It's where we're going when I get in the car. I think I'm going one place, I may end up at another. Well, then you're always late. No, I'm not. I'm really not always late. I know I was 3 minutes late today, but that would be because I started out late. It had nothing to do with where we were going. It just had to be with me doing something else that I didn't need to do at my house before I left. So to where he wants you, can he send you? All within this realm of this place. Not, you know, maybe someday he'll send you to a foreign land. I mean, he's been telling me for years I'm going places. Well, then, you know, 6 months ago he said, I want you to start confessing you're going to Ireland. I was like, okay, yeah. All right, well, I know better. I know because this isn't anything new. If he says to start saying it, then I'm supposed to start saying it. I'm going to Ireland. Same thing when I manifested my Mercedes. He said, I want you to start calling forth a brand new Mercedes. Well, that was in 2012. Thank you, Lord, for a 2012 Mercedes. Hallelujah. 2013 came. Thank you, Lord, for a 2013. Then 2015 came, and here comes the brand new Mercedes. I'm like, Lord, you are so good. Well, why did it take you so long to manifest? Well, one, I wasn't really focused all my efforts on it. I was just saying what he said to say and doing what he said to do. Come on, you're multitaskers. That wasn't my only focus. I had all these other things that I do as well. Run a full-time ministry. We're believing for God to do great things through this ministry. But not only are we believing that, but we're believing to be absolutely the people of this of my ministry believe that we can give to any charitable donation, that there is enough money in the bank to be able to do all that God has called us to do, and that we are going to fund the end-time gospel in our region. That's what the Lord said. Believe me, to fund the end-time gospel in your region. What? Our region is 100-mile radius, and then the plus one foot is missions. We're going to fund the end time gospel. What? When I first heard it 22 years ago, all I knew was to confess it. Then as time goes on, I begin to see more and more the fulfillment of the plan of God. But he'd just like to get your mouth lined up with what he's believing to do in your life. And it doesn't mean you have to go tell everybody. I wasn't standing in front of people doing my confessions. My confessions were at home. When it was just me and Jesus, and I didn't even know I would ever preach. That's when I started. You see what I'm saying? When nobody even knew me. Hallelujah. And I'm not even known as much as he says I'm going to be known. But I'm just faithful. Just faithful. Amen? So he says we're going to Ireland, so start confessing it. Well, then comes one day in prayer time. About 6 weeks ago, the Lord says, money is coming. You're going to take six people. You're going to go to Ireland, and I'm going to give you the money to buy the tickets. Okay, Lord. I'm just confessing. Thank you, Lord. We're going to Ireland. It wasn't even a week. Here comes the money. I have to call all six people. Can you go? Can you go to Ireland? I didn't even talk to him about it. So we got all this together, bought the tickets. We're going to Ireland in April. And the Lord is like, I have a plan. There's a plan. There's a specific reason you're going. A specific reason. Oh my gosh, a specific reason. No pressure there. No pressure because I've developed the ear to hear 20 years ago on where he wanted to go to the grocery store. You say, well, I don't want to spend 20 years doing it. Well, then you're not a follower. You're not a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined one that he can discipline you to do whatever he desires. Well, you want to buy tires for your vehicle and you always go to Walmart. But he said, I want you to go to Walmart. I want you to go to Big O. I don't want to go to Big O. This was my conversations with the Lord. I don't want to go there. They don't have good prices. You know, he doesn't talk after he says it. He really doesn't. He just shuts up. So you're either going to do what he said or you're going to do what you want to do. So I go to Big O. My mindset is I'm a woman. They know that. And they're going to try to take me for everything they can get. That's where I look at things about, you know, men and women and in things we're not familiar with, which would be changing tires. My dad taught me to change tires, but I don't want to change a tire. Hallelujah. So I'm up there trying to get my tires, and the owner of Big O in my town, and I'm like, are you lying to me just because I'm a woman? Are you telling me the exact price that you would give a man? This was my conversation with this wonderful gentleman. And he was like, no, this is the same price I would give a man. Oh, really? Okay. I mean, this was my attitude. So ended up, the Lord was like, I want you to buy those tires from him, and I don't want you to say another thing about the price. So, I mean, it was a good price, like $20 a tire or something. It was retread. I mean, this is a while back. This isn't recent. I didn't put a retread on my Mercedes. But this was when I had a Cadillac. And the Lord was like, I want you to minister to that man. I want you to minister to him. I want you to show him the love of God. So we're going to do that again. Because you did it all ugly. Hallelujah. None of you all have attitudes like that, right? The Lord tells you to do something, so you got to throw your attitude in there. Hallelujah. And you probably tell him, I just don't really want to be here, but the Lord sent me here anyway. I did that too. I don't do that as much anymore because I'm getting kind of understanding and that he really just loves people. And he'd like, because I have an earth suit, flesh, he'd like to be able to work through me. And he'd like to be able to work through you. Amen. And do not always think it's so personal, the reason you're going there. And believe me, if he tells you to buy something, he intends to pay for it. You're going to have to get that mindset. He intends to pay for it. He intends to pay for it. May he take your paycheck and pay for it? Yeah, because 100% is his. But he will pay for it. 100% of my paycheck is his, not 10%. Not 20%, 100% of whatever he wants to do is what we're going to do. It's a good place to be. We're fellow believers in this place. So if we're fellow believers, then we ought to be able to understand each other in this following God thought process. Because, boy, he wrote a good, did you write that? He wrote, those words came from heaven. They absolutely came from heaven. Because when you sing them, it's like on the inside. If you just say those words over and over and over, all of a sudden on the inside, the Spirit of the Lord gets excited because you're saying something that he wants you to do. Come on. Know how much he loves you. Oh, spend time with him. He'd like to send you to speak for him. Hallelujah. Not necessarily a thus saith the Lord, because the world don't get that. They just think you're crazy. He would like to be able to send you to maybe do what Jesus did and give an analogy in modern day terms. Just the thought process. And you don't even have to think. Once you learn to hear his voice and understand and follow him, you don't have to think beforehand. In Luke, chapter 21, verse 15, I believe it says, I will not think beforehand what I will answer, because he will give me a mouth and wisdom, which all my adversaries cannot gainsay, refute, or resist. That's in the Amplified, and I combined the two. I took the King James and the Amplified and added all the adjectives. Because what a word. I don't have to think beforehand what I'm going to say, because I'm going to hear him, and he's going to tell me what to say, and then I'm going to say it. So how important is it to get the voice of the Lord to where you know it's him talking to you? It's pretty important, so that he can lead you. Well, how do you get to hear the voice of God? You know, this is my number one thing that I talk about more than anything else, is hearing his voice. And not just hearing his voice every now and then, but hearing it on a daily basis. That's not just set for prophets to hear. That's not just set for evangelists to hear. Every believer, he would like to be able to speak to you. He would like to be able to guide you. He would like to be able to direct you. Well, what if I get a different word than my pastor gets? Well, then he's your pastor. You're going to submit under that word, and you're not going to beat yourself up. Maybe you didn't hear it right. Maybe you did, but let it unfold. Let the word unfold that you heard. Somebody in here needs to hear that, because you beat yourself up. I used to do that. Beat yourself up over hearing the word when it didn't match exactly what was happening at the time. But as I learned to settle myself, come on, to settle my hearing and to be confident in that he was giving me a word, because I use the scripture as my confirmation. I don't just get a word and go do it. You know, buy the mailman blue shoes. No. Come on. I just don't go do that. I'm like, Lord, if I'm not a tither, why would I be giving the mailman blue shoes? First off, I got to be a tither in my local church. Because if he's going to say anything to me, it's going to be a tither. Then have I sown seed into my pastor this week? Because, that's something in here to do too. So he's not going to tell me to buy the mailman blue shoes till I have given to my man of God. I'm just being honest with you. Just trying to help you to weigh out what's really coming from God and what's really coming from another voice that you don't need to be paying attention to. Shut that voice down. I always think it's funny when in the prison ministry, the girls, you know, they don't do it anymore, but they used to. They all come in and tell me all these things the devil did this week. I'm like, okay, you tell me everything the devil did, but what did God do? And they're like, what? What do you mean, what did God do? Well, I didn't hear him. I don't hear him. Well, you need to be hearing him. If you can hear the enemy, you could definitely hear the Lord. It's all in the same realm. It's in the unseen realm. So you shut one voice down and you listen to your Father's voice. Hallelujah. God is so good. And he's specific. And I cannot change that. Amen. I can't preach that he's not specific. I can only preach with the way he is with me, out of the overflow. Well, he's not specific with me. Well, maybe you don't believe for him to be. I just believe that he is. Amen. If he could give Noah exact directions on how to build an ark and the pitch and the wood, you should get in there and read that. That's pretty specific, God. He's pretty specific. Well, he needed to build something to save lots of people. Well, the Lord's building in you something called a tree of righteousness, so that you could actually have branches where others could come and sit on your branches, because you have developed an understanding of just a few things about God. We don't have to know everything. I think we'll be our whole existence of eternity knowing everything. But just enough to be able to help yourself and maybe a few others be able to know what he wants to do in this season, in this time. Then you come to church and it should be confirmation. Not that you're telling the pastor you heard. I didn't tell nobody. Because, you know, the realms I walked in, you said you heard the voice of God. That was like crazy. Because I grew up Baptist. That was crazy. So I couldn't say those things. So I kept it quiet for a very long time. But at 19 years old, and on a bathroom floor, crying out to the Lord because I thought I had, you know, again, first time I'd ever thought I'd ruined my life. And the Lord gave me book of the Bible, chapter and verse, very specific. And the word said that he gave me, which was, you can follow me and you'll gain your life. But if you follow what you want to do, you're going to lose your life. And that was in like a NIV translation. What a word. At a pivotal point in my life, either I'm going to do it his way or I'm going to do it my way. And to his way, I'll gain a life, my life, but my way, I'm going to lose it. Now, did he mean I was going go home? Or I don't know what he meant by that. I just didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to lose my life. I had always been brought up to want to do what the Lord wanted me to do. But through circumstances, I had just gotten distracted. Nobody knows anything about distraction, right? I'm ministering to somebody right now that really talking about hearing the voice of God, been doing this for 4 months. And just the other day, when I first met them, they didn't know how to hear the voice of God. And just the other day, they were like, oh my gosh, I heard the voice of God before I met you and forgot it. So I'm like, what happened to you to cause you to forget you could hear his voice? Well, doesn't the Bible tell you that the Lord takes no pleasure in those that draw back? Why does he take no pleasure? Because you forget what manner of man you were. Isn't that in Romans? You're looking into a glass, but it's dimly, but you walk away and you forget who you were. Don't forget. Don't let that happen. I always say, tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the same way you ask Jesus in your heart, which is with your mouth, is how the kingdom operates, is with your speaking. So you say, Holy Spirit, don't ever let me withdraw. If I try to draw back, put something behind me that stops me. I'm serious. Make that. He's your guide, your helper, your go-between. So I'll say, Holy Spirit, don't ever let me do that again. I don't ever want to draw back. I don't ever want to do that. Stop me. And then I give him full permission to do it, because you do have to give him full permission, because he will never override your will. He will never stop anything you want to do. Come on, think about it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not going to stop you. He's going to let you do what you want to do, because everybody gets free choice. If you get anything out of my message tonight, I get free choice. I better choose correctly. I better choose correctly, because he's going to let me choose. And you don't even know, most of us don't even know we chose wrong until it's down the road. We don't even know that we chose wrong. So we just don't want that to happen. I don't. So I just, ooh, Lord. I mean, I have all kinds of testimonies about him stopping me, because I say, stop me. I don't want to be, nothing's going to happen to me. The Holy Spirit's not going to injure me. But I've had cars that I was driving completely stop working, and I had to coast to the side. And the Lord's like, you're angry. I was like, yes, I'm angry. I'm very angry right now. And he was like, okay, but you told me to help you during this time. Yes, I did. But I don't want to be. I want to be mad right now. Do any of you have this? You want to be mad right now. He said, well, then the car's not going to start until you get over it. Well, I was in the middle of the woods. It might take me a while to walk someplace. He knew exactly where to get me. Because I was like, not doing that. It was dark. It was just, I mean, no, I don't want to walk in the middle of the woods. It was like 10 miles before we got back to civilization. And I was like, I don't know how to get over this, Lord. Come on, how many of you just need to be honest with God? I've been offended, I've been hurt, and I don't know how to get over it. I don't know how to get over it. I need you to help me. And I remembered one of my mentors saying that it's like drawing a line in the sand, and you get over your offense by faith. So you draw a line in the sand and you walk across it in your mind and you say, today, I am by faith getting over this. It doesn't mean I still don't feel it. It doesn't mean I can't remember it. It means that the same faith I use to believe that Jesus died and rose again in 3 days, and that God did that, and I believe that, and I'm now part of the family of God with Jesus as Lord of my life. That same faith is what I'm going to use to get past offense. The same exact faith. So I'm going to walk across that line. I don't know. When you asked Jesus in your heart and he became Lord of your life, you didn't know what was going to happen, but you believed. And look where you are now. Well, you don't know how you're going to get past offense, but you're going to believe that you are. God is going to intervene, and you're going to be past it at some point. Maybe not that minute, but by faith, I'm past it. And when I did that, the Lord said, your car will start now. And don't think that I hadn't tried to start that car numerous times. I had, over and over and over, and it wouldn't start. And the offense was with my pastor. Of course it was. Anything to get you out of following the will of God. The enemy truly is seeking whom he can devour. But you have just got to decide he can't devour you. It's not going to happen. I'm drawing a line. It is not happening with me. Amen? I don't know why I'm going down this path. Because I don't know. Because Pastor Jack is a wonderful pastor. Amen? And none of you all have any offense with him. But some reason the Lord wants me to. I preach this at my church too. Because I know I can be offensive. I know I can. I don't have any doubt about it. I can be very up in your face, you know, are you seeking God, blah, 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 whatever. You know, these kids probably could tell you. Bella and Faith, I mean, they're teenagers, man, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, asking them questions. They're smiling now, but hallelujah. They're like, oh, no, here comes Pastor Kim. Clean my thoughts up, Lord. I'm just kidding. They have holy thoughts. I always tell him that the Holy Spirit tells on you if you can't repent. He doesn't want to tell on you. Come on. But if you can't get past it, then he tells your pastor so he can help you or she can help you. Okay, here we go. Where people are, can the Lord send you where people are lost or have forgotten who they are? Can the Lord send you not only to the lost, but maybe people who have forgotten who they are? Can he send you? I'm not saying to the local bar or to the, I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying just, I mean, I've had him go and tell me to sit in a parking lot and I'll sit there and maybe an hour later I'm playing music or listening to preaching. An hour later, here comes somebody walking. I'll say, you see that person right there? That is them. I want you to get out, and I want you to talk to them. I mean, this happened in Frankfurt one time. He sent me on, had me sit on a residential street, and he always says, can we do what I want to do? I'm like, yes, Lord, let's do what you want to do. So we went on this residential street, and we sat there. And maybe an hour went by, and here comes this young man. He's listening to some music, these things in his ears. And the Lord said he was just talking to his mom. He does not want to go on. So many things have happened in his life that he's thinking of ending his life. And I want you to tell him about me and that I love him. And so I'm like, okay, you know, do I get out of the car now? I mean, you know, I'm a white lady by myself. I'm being honest. And I'm in a different kind of neighborhood. He's a black young man coming. He looked like a football player. I thought, I'm going to get out and talk to this man. Okay. Hallelujah. I jump out. And I'm supposed to act casual. Like I'm just happened to be going down the street. I'm sure he saw me jump out of the car. So I'm passing by and I stick my hand out and kind of do like this. And he looks up. He's probably thinking, what in the world does she want? And so he took out his thing that he was listening with and I said, how are you today? He was like, fine. Because I don't know what to say. I'm like, how do I start this conversation, Lord? You know, and the Lord he's like, just tell him what I said. So I began to tell him what I said, what the Lord said. And I saw a tear come down his eye. He said, I was just talking to my mom. I said, well, the Lord sent me on this street. I've been waiting an hour for you to walk by because he wanted you to know he loves you. And he wants to make a change in your life. And he wants to show you how good he is. I mean, what an opportunity, you guys. What an opportunity to just be able to go where he wants you to go and do what he wants you to do. It's just making yourself available. It's just making yourself available. Hallelujah. You know you have a call in your life to be brought before great men. How is that ever going to happen until you hear where he wants to send you to be brought before those great men? Because they're not necessarily going to come to where you are. You're going to go to where they are. You know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm being serious. You know? It's like you have this idea and you've put it into fruition and you see it work, but yet you know you've got to have contact with somebody else who's more skilled in marketing than you are. And you just can't use anybody. You have to use who the Lord wants, right? So you get up there and you wait for whoever the Lord says for you to talk to, and that's who you go to. Come on, divine appointments. You're somebody's divine appointment. You're somebody's divine appointment. Hallelujah. 8:43, I got a few more minutes. Hang on. My phone keeps shutting off, so I have to get back to it. The Lord wants to send you to people who don't hear his voice. It's not always for them to be saved. Sometimes it's to develop connections. Come on. Some people, you just can't shove Jesus down their throat the first time you meet them. This is not going to work like that. The Lord's like, I want you to talk to him. You're going to have to come up with something to say. I always say, I don't know what to say, Lord. You're going to have to help me. Come on. So he gives you an idea or a thought comes to your mind and you just start talking about that. Maybe it's something you know nothing about. That's what happens to me a lot. Cars. I know nothing about cars except you put a key in. And my car right now, you can just push a button. So it's not even a key. So I'm like, Lord, I don't know about cars. Just start talking about cars. Then I have to think, what did I talk about cars? You like cars? I mean, you know, I just start off with, you like cars? I don't know. Does everybody like cars? They're nice to have, right? They get us where we want to go. Simple conversation. Just being fed, just one thing at a time, walking further and letting him develop those divine connections in your life that you don't even see how that is ever even going to mean anything to you. But God's got a plan. He has got a plan. He's had me shake somebody's hand before and say, this person's supposed to be in your life. So began to minister to them. What? We have a handshake, Lord? Are you kidding? I don't even know anything about them. What if they're a mass murderer? Your brains don't go that way, right? What if they're a mass murderer? What if they are, you know, hallelujah. Just blame it on working in the inner city. Hallelujah. I always say all the time, I mean, my goodness, I'm meeting people. They could have, don't tell them what they did 5 minutes before they got there. But we're still treating them like God wants us to treat them. Speaking to the Jesus on the inside of them. Calling out their greatness. Come on. I was thinking about this young man she's talking about, you know, and I was asking the Lord about him. You know, and the thing about him, even when he fell down, he was probably under the influence to even fall. But then I saw somebody in his life praying for him. I don't even know that they're still on the earth. I think they're in heaven. And they're in Jesus' face saying, all my family is going to be saved. All my family is going to be saved. You hear me, Jesus? Come on. All my family's going to be saved. And Jesus is like, man, I got to send somebody. But she's going to keep talking about it. And she's not mean about it, whoever that person is. But I was like, Lord, he has a divine appointment. There is a divine appointment. Not only does the Lord want him to be prayed for and healed, but he wants him supernaturally delivered. Supernaturally delivered. Hallelujah. But then he needs purpose put in him. Because right now his purpose is to get high every single day of his life. And if you don't put purpose in people, and that takes God in you to give people purpose. Come on. You have to put purpose with back in people. How do you do that? How do you give somebody purpose? Well, I'm just a church member. That's just for the pastor to do. No, his job is to preach the word and hear where the church is going. And yes, he might give words and might give purpose and give assignments for people to do. But when you come in the door, what does the Lord want you to say to them? To speak to the greatness on the inside of them. Woo! To encourage or to say, hey, you know, I really need help with whatever. I don't know. Picking out a book over here. And I know you have such a gift of hearing the voice of God. You're thinking, oh, dear Lord, they don't hear the voice of God. You better start speaking it. You better start speaking they hear the voice of God. Because that is where they're going. Because you're going to produce in them faith they didn't even know they needed. To believe that God could speak to them, to believe that God could change them, to believe that God would put them in places where they will be able to take everything the devil meant to kill them with and turn it into evangelism for the people that he's going to send them back to. Hallelujah. So you speak to the, you speak to it. You speak to the hope within them. And in this place, there are people that are great encouragers. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a form of prophecy to encourage, to speak to the greatness, because you didn't come up with it on your own. You listened to the Lord in prayer time, and he said, ha-ha, this person you're going to meet today is going to have a blue hat on with a white shirt. It's going to say Kentucky on it, and your mind's like 1,500 people will have Kentucky on their shirt today. You're going to have to look for it anyway and wait for the Lord to say, that's the one. Now go tell them what I told you in prayer. Well, Lord, what if they think I'm crazy? Who cares? People think you're crazy anyway without saying a word. Everybody I see most of the time on a daily basis, I say, Lord, are they crazy? Come on. Because we live in a crazy society. And I got to quit saying it, because the more you say it, the more you see it. Woo! We do not live in a crazy society. We live in people filled with the Holy Ghost, following the will of God. Hallelujah. You can tell that's a path I haven't ran my brain down very much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have a gift. You have a gift on the inside of you to be an encourager. And that's for everybody in the body. You don't have to wait for the pastor to tell you you're an encourager. Jesus is on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and that is who they are. They are encouragers of the believers. Just when you want to quit, the Holy Spirit's like, come on, come on, we can do this. You can do this. I'll help you. Come on. So you think, no, it should be somebody else besides me. If the Lord sent me here tonight to say, can I send you? You have to see it's you. It's you he wants to use to minister to your community. Well, it can't possibly be me, Lord. Well, what if everybody says that? Then there's nobody doing it. He needs you to see you are the one he's chosen to reach out to people, to do the plans that are going to change people's lives, all in line with what your pastor says that God's doing in your community. I can tell you right now, I believe Pastor Jack would be ecstatic that you brought in three rows of people. I don't think he's going to say, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. I want you to sit down. You're doing too much. I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to be so excited and encouraged. You have just encouraged your pastor in ways that beyond your thought process you could have ever done by saying, I value this ministry so much that I want others in this community to know what you're doing in this place. And I went and I got them. And I love them. And you didn't maybe take them to church the first time you met them. Maybe you had to develop a relation, a fellowship with them. Maybe you had to develop something more to where they believed that they could trust you, that you weren't taking them to something crazy. It's a lifestyle. We're not just doing this for a moment. We're going to be doing this till we leave this planet. It's called the Church of the Living God that hears his voice, knows his will, is able to speak in situations where it's important that the things be changed, and he puts you there for a specific purpose. You know, if you go in, I know I haven't gotten to any scripture yet, but hallelujah, it's in me. If you go into Esther, I was teaching on Esther because I believe we're an Esther generation. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Specifically called to be in a specific place at a specific time to make a difference to an entire nation. You. Well, there's not that many nations, Pastor Kim. Oh, yes, you don't even know. You are called. But first, you got to be faithful here. Over and 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 over. Years of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Even when I go and I travel the way I do, which isn't a whole lot yet, but it'll grow, my mind is always on Apostle Callahan. My mind's on to cover him when he goes someplace, but my mind is on when I'm out someplace that I am representing his ministry. And my mind is to always do the best I can to represent who he is and then represent who Jesus is. Those are my thought processes when I'm ministering. And when I'm in Pastor Jack's church, my mind is him first, then my pastor, Apostle Callahan, and then, you know, just really wanting to honor the position and the places that God has put me. Amen? And that's, you already have that. You're not trying to get that. You already have that. You know how many people there are out there that are lone rangers for God? We're not talking about being a lone ranger. We're the body of Christ. We work as a team. If somebody brings in 10 people, they can't possibly continuously minister to all 10. They're going to need you to jump in there and encourage and to make sure and to do your part of whatever they need. It's a body. It's the team effort. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you just stay to yourself, right? I know you're going to have to venture out of your comfort zone, you know, and start looking around you, but you're going to be happy because the Lord is going to be happy with you because he loves people. So we're looking for those who don't hear his voice. Esther. When you look at Esther's life, and right at the last moment when all the stuff is going down, hallelujah, and Haman is planning on killing all the Jews, and they're at that banquet that she asked her husband to come to in Haman, and her husband sees that he is trying to assault Esther, and he comes back in the room, there is a, what I like to call a footman, standing there. It was just a guard. And the king couldn't decide what he needed to do with Haman. He was kind of stuck for a minute. What do I need to do with this man? And the guard says, well, at Haman's house, he's built a gallows for all the Jews. And the king said, that very gallows that you have built to kill Mordecai and the Jews, you'll hang on it today. The person in the corner said that. Hello? Can you get to a place where you can allow the Lord to put you in a place to be the voice, to make a difference, to change a nation, just because you were willing to do whatever he wanted you to do? It didn't always have to be the main speaker. You know, not everybody has to be the Esther or the king. This man was in the corner. He was a guard. But he spoke at the divine moment in time of what he was supposed to say and changed the nation. Now, it wasn't just Esther who changed it, because she had the anointing on her. Everybody around her was working in the same anointing. Woo! Come on! That's Jesus. We're anointed. He's our head, and we are his body. And because he's got a focus, we've got the same focus to where he can divinely place us. We think, oh, you know, gosh, I don't know. Am I really supposed to clean? You know, I have a girl in my church, and her first job was janitor, and she hated it. It was so funny, and she was verbal about it. That's okay, because I understand being verbal. And so she had to talk about how much she hated it. So, you know, I let her do that for a few weeks. And I was like, that's it. You're going to have to say you like it. But I don't like it. I said, I don't care. Start saying you do. Because sometimes you just have to say that this is what you're going to have to do. Because the soul can't get past the hate. Hello? Of what you're doing. Nobody's been there, right? Dear Lord, nobody's been there. I could just see nobody's been there. I mean, you know, this person the Lord brought into my life and said, he's your friend. Start telling him about Jesus. And I was like, I don't want to do that. This is complicated. This requires effort. I don't want to. Come on. None of y'all ever act like that, right? It's gonna upheaval my flow. I'm working in 8 lanes here, Lord, like he doesn't know. Come on. I'm on my way to work, Lord. You want me to stop at what gas station? And you want me to do what? I'm on my way to work. You do know that, right? Like, he never answers. He doesn't answer stupid. He really doesn't. And what's so cool about it is when I just follow, I think I'm going to be late to work. And he says, now believe me to accelerate you there. I get a miracle out of it. He was planning to do that all along if I just listen. Because see, when you work with the Lord, you're in divine timing. And you're outside of the natural realm now. And everything works for you instead of against you. I mean, the church is going to be running into this. You're going to be like, Pastor Kim came in and just really started preaching this to us and started giving us, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, this, because that's my anointing, is to give number one, number two, number three, number four. Not just say do it and then just leave you. No, no, no. I'm tell you one, number one, number two, number three. This is what you're going to do. Start doing it. What was the first one? Prayer. Start making your prayer time. Some of you, I'm not trying to tell on you, but you don't even know when your prayer time is. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you. How's he going to tell you? I always say through the word. Hallelujah. So, get your prayer time. Number two, get your word time. Well, he tells me to get my word time. My prayer time is 4 a.m. in the morning. And one time, somebody from church came to me, because I have intercessors. We all meet. And this lady came that the Lord told me to invite to intercession. I don't know. She'd come for 6 weeks. Pretty faithful. And then she came to me and she said, Pastor, I have to understand something. Why 4 a.m.? I said, I'm not really sure. I'm going to ask the Lord. So I have to go ask the Lord, why 4 a.m.? To give this woman an answer. And so he said, you tell her that I chose 4 a.m. because no one can ever come with an excuse that they have something to do. So I go back and said, the Lord said, so you can't ever come up with an excuse. of what you're doing at 4 a.m. Hello. He was talking to all of us. No excuse. Now, if you work night shift, he's not going to tell you 4 a.m. Amen? But he clears all excuses. All excuses. I mean, I have titles of books all about getting up out of the bed at 4 a.m. I mean, I got titles. He'll say, put your foot on the floor. So that's going to be a title of a book. Put your foot, just put your foot on the floor. Because you're laying there like, I don't want to get up. And I hear him say, put your foot on the floor. I'm like, So I try to lay in bed with one foot on the floor. And how many of you know you fall out? You fall right out of the bed. Just try it. Maybe some of you have longer legs than me. I don't know. But I just, it didn't work. You get one foot on the floor, you're up. Because I'm falling out. He knew that already. So I tried it. One foot on the floor. Doesn't work. Come on. He just walks you all these steps all the time to get you into this place where you can be what he desires you to be, because he's your helper. The Holy Spirit is your helper. So get your prayer time. So you're going to get your word time, get your prayer time. And then what's the third thing you're going to do? You're going to start, when you talk to the Lord, instead of asking 10 things, you're going to ask him one thing. Because your brain don't know which one he's answering. It's not that he can't answer 10. Oh, yes, he can. But when he gives it to you in the word, you're not going to have an idea what he wants. So you ask him one thing, Lord. Lord, what am I doing? What's your plan for me? Sometimes I say, I just need to know what you think of me. Dear Lord, just tell me. Just tell me what you think of me. And then I sit quietly and I wait for a book. There's 66 of them. If you don't know all of them, just ask for a number, 1 through 66. What a thought process that is. I got that from a prison ministry too, because this little girl, she was crying because she didn't know the books of the Bible. And I said, Lord, what do you do? And he said, tell her to listen for me to give her a number, 1 through 66. She bawled when she got her word. It was just precious because it just was the Lord just speaking to her. You say, I can't possibly hear the Lord that fast. I'm telling you, I go into prison ministry, I teach this word, and before they walk out the door, we are doing the word. Because in my secular job, you learn one, you do one, and you teach one. It's that fast. There is no weeks and weeks of learning. There's a new something coming out. They tell you, okay, here's the new thing. Here's how to work it. This way it's going to go. Before you know it, this next patient's on that thing, and the next one, somebody else is saying, I didn't get taught this. Tell me what to do. So you're now teaching them how to do it. It's a very fast-paced environment. Come on. We are at least faster in the realm of the things of God than the world is. So don't be thinking you got to have all this extra practice. Hallelujah. Now, let's say you miss it. This is what the Lord said to me. Let's just say you miss it. Okay, you say you missed it. I've missed it before. Okay, fine, you miss it. He said what happens is that people want to quit when they miss it. They just want to quit. They just want to fall down and quit. And he said they're not seeing themselves how I see them. And I was like, Lord, tell me how you see them. He said, I see them as an infant when they begin to learn to hear my voice. They're an infant. They need milk. They need to grow. And then I see them as a toddler when they're starting to learn to walk. And you know there's different stages of walking, right? There's the cruising and there's, you know, all these different stages. I won't bore you with all that knowledge. Blah. Anyway, so your child, they hold on to things, and then all of a sudden they think they can do it, right? So they take off one step, two step, and then they look at you, and you're like, come on, come on, and they laugh, and they fall down. They hit the butt with the pamper. Thank you, Lord. No parent in their right mind says, oh, my gosh. They're never going to walk. Did you see that? It was their first time. It was their 10th time. They're never going to walk. No parent in the right mind does that, because you have some knowledge that in that child is everything they're going to need to someday be an Olympian if they so desire. Their muscles just have to grow. Their thoughts just have to grow. They have to understand how to function in their body. You wonderful people of God. That's how the Lord views you. So what? You hear and you miss it. You fell down. Does that mean you're never, ever going to get it right? The majority, he told me over 50% of the people quit after one time. And they don't even understand the greatness and the plans that I have for them because they think they missed it and they got embarrassed and they quit. And he said, I don't see him that way at all. I see him like a child learning to walk. No parent would say, you're never going to get it right now. You missed it one time. You know, he knows that the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is going to help us grow to full maturity, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He knows that, but he needs you not to beat your own self up and to quit, to trust that he knows what he's doing. And so what if you miss it? I say I miss it. I get to publicly say I miss it. Hallelujah. I missed it. But that doesn't count for the 96 times I got it right and 3 times I missed it. Okay. I'm going to keep going. Soon it won't be like that at all, but I'm going to keep going. Because it used to be I missed it more than I got it right. Hello? Come on, you guys. You can't beat yourself up. So what? That's what the Lord says. So what? Let's go. Come on. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Like you would with your child. You go and you pick them up and you're like, come on, let's do it again. Because it's so exciting. They're at least venturing. They're at least trying. You're at least attempting to hear his voice. And then you want to get it through the word, book of the Bible, chapter and verse. And it should mimic. It should literally match what he said to you. He don't just do that for me or for He does it for everybody. He will do that for everybody because he loves you that much. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to know his plans for you. He wants you to understand his ways of doing things and being right. Amen? Hallelujah. And I know people will argue, well, Pastor, you just have a gift. That's why you do it. Okay, fine. But I can tell you right now, I'm telling you, I go everywhere. I was in Guadalajara, Mexico, and I wanted to teach on faith in this big church. I don't know, it's 200 people or so. I wanted to teach on faith. And the Lord said, teach them to hear my voice. I said, through an interpreter, I'm going to teach how to hear your voice. Are you kidding me? He said, that's what I want you to teach them. Teach them to hear my voice. Because there are people in this place that do not know my voice, and I want them to know it. Now, let's see. Let's find a word where it says you can hear his voice, because that's really important, right? So let's go to John 10. Say, I just came in to encourage you tonight. Amen. That was my assignment to say, I'm just going to read exactly. I can't do it without reading it again. God said, can I send you? John 10, go to verse 27. What's it say? It's in the red, by the way. What's it say? What else does it say? And they, well, I've tried to hear the voice of God. That's your example. This is the truth. There's not too much you can come and tell me because I've already heard it. Because I've been teaching this for a very long time, probably over, really seriously over the last 10 years, but probably more than 20, I've been teaching this. And that verse, when I said, Lord, if you want me to teach people to hear your voice, you're going to have to show me something in the word that says they can. And that's where he took me, specifically, John 10, 27, go there. My sheep hear my voice. Ooh. Now you're all concerned about maybe hearing it wrong. That's in here too. Where was that at? I just showed this on prison ministry. Is it 20? Yeah, verse 5. 10 verse 5. Let's read the verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his what? Now let's read the next one. Read number 5. Let me hear you. I just want to hear you. Why can't you have faith in that verse? Because that's the number one thing the enemy tries to tell you. Oh, you're going to miss it. Oh, you're going to miss it. Do you know you're going to hit it more than you're going to miss it? Because a stranger's voice you will not listen to. You will not. Well, what if I do? What if I do? Oh, my goodness. John, this is what the Lord said. Go everywhere you go. I want you to teach. John 10:10. I believe. John 10:10. He said, because it's your opportunity to be a smart Christian. Say, it's my opportunity. I'm moving into being a smart Christian. And the dividing line between what comes from the enemy and what comes from the Father is in John 10:10. So you have to be smart and you have to pay attention to what you're hearing. So what you're hearing, does it, what's John 10:10 say? The key thief cometh not but for to what? Kill. But I have come that you might have and life more abundantly. So when you hear the voice, you need to analyze it. Hello? You need to think about this verse. Is it killing, stealing, and destroying? That didn't come from the Lord. Does it bring life and life more abundantly? That came from the Lord. Then how fast did it come? We know in the natural, light is 186,000 miles per second. So the word of the Lord is going to come faster than you can think it. If you can think it, it was not God. It was your own self. It comes very fast, faster than you can think. Hello? You want to be smart, right? We're going to be smart. We're going to hear his voice and we're going to do his will. And when he says go to a place, we're going to go because we're going to know that that's where he's sending us. Because we have now thought about what. We didn't just hear the voice and do it. We thought about how it came. What voice came? Because we can't hear a stranger's voice. Because it's slow. Hello. The Lord's voice is fast. It's very fast. Faster than you can think it. So you think, was I thinking that? Well, I wasn't even thinking that. I wasn't thinking that at all. The Lord just started talking to me about it. You have to analyze. You have to think about it. Pastor, I don't know. Can you trust people? Well, it's not me who's doing the trusting. I believe it's the Lord who put that in there. Wasn't me. I didn't put John 10:10 in there. I didn't put John 10:27 and John 10:5. He did. So he must have had a thought process. He'd like to be able to use you. And you know more specific what he's talking about. Because he put that in there, not me. I don't have to be afraid you're going to miss it. Hello? Because I'm going to love you regardless, and so is he. That's what's so good of a pastor. Well, I think I'm getting this word. I'm just going to go run it by my pastor. If he says, I don't know, I'm not sure about that, then you just wait. Because I'm telling you, when we moved from Waddy, Kentucky to Madison, Indiana, Angela, the Lord told me he was going to send somebody, told me exactly what she would look like, told me that she needed Jesus. And so when she came, I led her to the Lord. She's been with me since then. She was 19 years old. When we left Waddy, I knew she needed to go someplace else for a while. So she lived in Frankfort, so he sent her to a church in Frankfort. Then I said to her, the Lord is going to move you with us when it's time. So we'll wait. We'll just wait. Everybody will know it's time. We will just wait. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to do anything. We'll just wait. Well, it wasn't, I don't even know how long. She probably knows. 6 years. Is it 6 years? 6 years. That was gone because I really didn't know. 6 years she was there. And the pastor said, the Lord says you're supposed to move now. Hello? Do you not think God can get it to people? Hello? So you don't have to fear, oh my gosh, the Lord's calling me to Timbuktu and I got to move tomorrow. Nope, nope, no. That's probably not going to happen to anybody. He probably wants you to stay, but I've got a ministry call. Well, fine. If your ministry is called, then your pastor will know it and he will send you or keep you whichever way he He feels that it's necessary. Pastor Jack is not about keeping people from doing the will of God. He's about getting you in the will of God. He loves you. He's not about holding you back. But see, you're limiting yourself because you think that way. You think, well, I'm supposed to go and play in big assembly halls, music. I'm just going to use you for an example. I'm supposed to do that, but yet I'm here. How can that happen? Well, see, you limit yourself when you think like that. Because what can the Lord do? He can send you out. You can go on a weekend and be back for church on Sunday. You can play Friday and Saturday, your praise and worship with the Hillsong. We'll just throw it out there. And then you are back on Sunday because your assignment's here. There aren't planes. We are, what are we? Multitaskers. Oh, I don't know if I can do all that. Oh, well then, just sit down until you know you can. Come on. God is bigger than your mind, and he already knows how you're going to be able to do it all. But he's got to be able to change the way you think and stop just thinking it's only one way he's going to do this thing. He's going to do it multiple ways. It's going to be so cool. The body is going to be so busy doing what they're supposed to be doing, going and doing and coming back and still being present in their local church, still being here because this is where the Lord said this is where you're going to be. But still doing all that he called you to do. Woo! Doesn't that excite you? And you're never too old. I'm excited about your adventure. I'm excited to hear where the Lord's going to send you and who he's going to have you talk to. You got to let me know. I'm serious. He's going to send her on an adventure. Hallelujah. And still be back Sunday for church. And you may not even like flying, but you know what? It don't even matter. It don't even matter. You're going to fly there, do what your assignment is, and fly back. And be here. You all, I'm not even playing. It's how the Lord works. He sends me, and I go, and I do it. I do what he tells me to do in 3 or 4 days, and I'm right back. Because my assignment is in Madison, in the pulpit. I don't get to just miss. Hello? And he'll send me. Okay, you're going to leave Sunday after church. We don't have Sunday night service. We never have since we've been up there. So he'll say, you're a plane. You're to leave out on Sunday night. And you're to be back on Wednesday. All right, Lord. Okay. Hello? You get to come back on Thursday. I have to come back a day early. You get to stay another day. That's awesome. Come on, take the limits off. Declare you're a multitasker. Come on, let me hear it. I didn't hear anybody say it. I'm a multitasker. I hear the voice of God. I'm a smart Christian. And I can decipher through my pastor's help, the Holy Spirit's help, and I don't have to be afraid of missing God. Because he's going to help me. Because he's going to be so excited that I'm even trying. Come on. He's going to be so excited. He's going to be like, yes! Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. That's how he acts to me. I mean, let's go. Amen? Woo! Come on. You know why you're going to have divine connections? Because you're going to hear his voice and be where he wants you to be right when he wants you to be there. And you're going to have divine connections because of it. Because you have knowledge. You walk in healing power. Come on. You pray for somebody, they get healed. He needs to be able to send you to some places for believers who don't know that so that you can teach them or that you can give them a book. Hello? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak this word. I believe that the word has gone into the spirits and has stirred up the body of Christ. I believe, Father, that we will see and hear from what this night has produced in their lives for years to come of the fantastic, phenomenal moving of God in Georgetown and the places that he has laid upon the heart of Pastor Jack. Thank you, Father, that this is just an open field of blessings waiting for this body to go and do and pick up and bring forth. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.